I'm different today. I may sound like I'm talking in a barrel, but we give glory and honor to God, and we thank him for all that he's doing in this crazy time that we're living in. Can everybody hear me all right? I sound muffled, don't I? Amen. Let's give the choir another hand. Do remember to pray for Tanisha. What's her last name? What's Tanisha? She's a member. Pierman. Pray for her. She went through surgery this week. And pray for her mom, Siobhan. They're in Charlottesville right now. She's in recovery and very serious surgery. So please pray that God would bless and bring them through this crisis. All right, if anybody can find a better face shield by next Sunday, this one is real flimsy. But anyway, we're going to do our best. Amen? God is good. His mercy is everlasting, and I don't have to spit on you. So we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. A number of things. I had to go out of town for a funeral service, and so I thank God for bringing us back safely. But the other thing is I forgot to bring my PowerPoint outline. I sent it out this morning and my sermon manuscript. So if I ramble, you all do one of these numbers. And that'll let me know I'm over time. But if you have your Bible, turn with us to Mark chapter 4. This is the first of a two-part series that we're going to be talking about the subject, do you know the man? Do you know the man? And this is an important question that all of us need to ask ourselves. Not only do you know God, but how well do you know him? Do you know him enough that he's made an impact on your life? Do you know him enough that you can trust him in a crisis? Do you know him to the point that you have said to yourself, no matter what happens, I'm going to rely on God's strength? So I invite you to join us this morning as we look at one of the things that the disciples are going through. And I know a lot of us, we go through from time to time. These storms, you don't invite them. You certainly don't feel comfortable when you're in them. And yet you have to encounter these storms. And so it was in Chapter 4, that Jesus had ministered to the multitude along with his disciples, and then he invited them, let's go over to the other side. They got into the boat, and you know the story. Jesus fell asleep on a pillow. And while he was sleeping, a storm, not just any storm, a magnitude storm, where they all felt that they would not survive. Have you ever been in that situation? Raise your hand. Have you ever been? I'm not talking about a toothache. I'm not talking about your tire went flat at the moment that you were trying to get to work. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when a family member dies. I'm talking about when you get a report from your doctor and they don't know what's wrong with you, but you know something is wrong. I'm talking about the type of situation that you find yourself in and your very life is threatened. I'm not talking about, well, I just didn't feel comfortable. I'm talking about a storm. Everybody say storm. We've all been in them. We don't enjoy them. But that's where we ask a bunch of questions. There are four questions in this passage that we need to pay attention to. There are four questions that we read about. Well, Jesus calmed the sea and he calmed the wind, but you don't pick up what was going on and what was the deeper, more relevant message in what Jesus was saying here. And you got to follow the questions. You've got to follow the questions. And do you not know the first thing that the disciples realized that they were in the storm, but they also realized, hey, Jesus is on board with us. They didn't say, glory, hallelujah, it's going to be all right. You know what they did? Right in the middle of their storm, they asked the first question, Lord, do you care? I mean, what do you mean? What do you mean, do you care? Do you care that we perish? That was the question. Yours might be different. Mine might be different. Yours might be something to the tune of, Lord, why are you putting me through this mess? I've been through other things. Don't you think I should be exempt from this one? Anybody ever say that? Or, Lord, why me? Why are you putting me through this? You see, the question, whether or not you word it the way the disciples did, or you word it in your own way, we question God. Why is this thing coming up? Why now? What do you want me to do about it? Is that a question of faith, though? Is that a question where we could say to God, Lord, I respect you, I honor you? It's almost as if the disciples were saying, Lord, it's your fault. They knew that Jesus was going to take care of them. They didn't have a doubt in their mind that he was going to be with them. After all, he was on the boat with them. The same storm that they were facing, he was facing. The same threat that they were having, he was having. But what was he doing? He was sleeping. And so what we do when we get mad at God, we'll go over and try to shake him. God, wake up. God, do you know what's going on? And God kind of yawns and says, yep, you're right where I want you. You're in the right place. And if you're not careful, what you will do is go through a storm and not learn anything. That's why we ask the question, do you know the man? Had they known him, they would have realized that God will never put you in anything that he won't bring you out of. And amen goes right there. Thank you, choir. God will never allow you to face situations that you can't bear. He will never put more burdens on you than he will give you the ability to stand up under. Do you understand what I'm saying? Second question. And these two were asked by Jesus after he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves and showed them that he was in authority even if he was asleep. Because the Bible declares that Jesus never sleeps, or God never sleeps, and Jesus is God. He never sleeps nor slumbers. In his flesh, he was resting. But in his spirit, he was well able. Let me just say this to you. Let me give you the interpretation of that. When you don't see God doing anything, he's doing everything. He's doing things beyond your comprehension. He's doing things that is beyond your understanding. You see, the visible things, or the things revealed, that belongs to us. But there are things that are going on in the spiritual realm you can't even imagine what God is doing. And that's why we glorify him. That's why we walk by faith. Because we understand that he's got everything under control. This pandemic that we're going through right now, people are, what is God doing? He's doing everything. You're just in a storm. Look at somebody, wave at them, just say you're in a storm. Don't touch him, don't try to touch him. But just say you're in a storm. And when you recognize that you're in a storm, that's when you get closer to him. They did the right thing in getting closer to him, but this raises the second question, and Jesus actually rebuked them when he asked this question, why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? Now, here's what happened to them. They had allowed their fear to come in and take the main seat. They had allowed their fear to now command every action that they are taking. You know, the response to something. How do you respond? We're going to respond in fear. And this fear is going to drive us to the point where we point at God and say, God, you don't know your job. Let me tell you something. One of the things you never want to do in life, do not sit in God's seat. You know, when I was at home and living in my parents' house, one of the things you don't learn, you don't sit in daddy's seat. And child of God, you don't sit in daddy's seat. He loves you, and it's good for him to make a corner at his seat, but you can't handle the throne. You cannot handle the one who is in authority over your life. You got to let him be God. You got to let him lead you even when you don't understand it. Even when you don't know the next step. What I found out by this thing of faith this week, God's taught me some hard lessons. I was on my face crying out to God, Lord, why is this happening? You know, I'm being fearful. Why is this happening? Lord, why? What's going on? Point my finger at God. And what he taught me is when you have faith, you don't see the results until things start working themselves out. And God kept saying to me in my spirit, trust me. Never did tell me what he was going to do. Never even gave me a sign. Lord, I need some information. You don't need anything but just stand still. All you need to know is that I'm in control of this. In other words, the same thing he's been saying in this pandemic. Go somewhere and sit down. Put yourself in a little bit of isolation. Go in your secret closet. Call on God. Pray to him. And this raises the question, if Jesus is on board with you and you're so fearful, and he asks that question, why are you fearful? This raises the other question, do you know the man? Do you know that he's a way maker? Do you know that he's brought other children of God through their trials? Do you know that he's been with you every moment of your life? And I can tell you one thing, you've had things to happen to you, but never once has God let you down. We've let him down, but God has always, always been faithful. Can I get an amen? Amen. So the word that Jesus spoke to them was really a rebuke. It's kind of like when your parents said to you, you know better. Y'all remember that? Or when you say to your kids, you know better. I didn't raise you that way. Come on. Jesus here is rebuking them because he knew that fear had come in and fear was now dominating. Now, so we talked about this in Bible study last week. Is fear a bad thing? No, fear is not a bad thing. Fear can be healthy if you don't let it get the best of you. The problem with a whole lot of us, you stand up at night getting ulcers. Come on, talk to me in here. You walking the floor wearing out your carpet when number one, you can't solve the problem anyway, and God's not going to solve it until the time comes. Why are you so fearful? So here's Jesus talking to them. He says, settle down. I just calmed the sea. But now I need to calm you. Now I've got to give you a spiritual sedative so that you can get your mind together. Or do y'all hear me talking in here? So when you begin to think about this, and this second question that Jesus asked them, he's really dealing with the storm on the inside. He'd already dealt with the threat, but now he's dealing with the internal turmoil. I want to say something to you. You're going to always have fear. You're going to always have these moments where things will hit you sideways and you will wonder what to do. But never once should you allow fear to come in and make the decisions for your life. That fearful moment came to let you know that there's a real threat that you need to deal with. And you ought to know by now that you ought to take your burden to the Lord. Come on, talk to me in here. And leave it there. A couple of things I want to do, and then I'm going to get ready to close this message. But you need to take a fear inventory. Fear inventory. Write it down. Fear inventory. Here's what you do when you're taking a fear inventory. Number one, know your fears. Know your fears. Write them down. Write them down. Put them someplace. Everybody else doesn't have to read it. They don't read your diary. Amen. If they do read your diary, they can't read your heart. That'll preach, great God Almighty. That'll preach somewhere. They might know what you write on paper, but they don't know what's written in your heart. Glory to God. Do I have a witness here? Know your fears. One of the fears that I have been dealing with for years. I know y'all ears just perked up. I saw your ears just like a deer that listening for something. I saw your ears perked up. Here's my number one fear. I'm going to tell you. That way you don't have to get your gossip twisted. Let me whisper it to you. I have a fear of failure. I don't want to fail. My fear is not yours. I'd probably do the same thing or respond to you. Here's how the fear of failure works. You want everybody to like what you're doing. You want everybody to respect you. And even if you fail just once, people are going to get mad at you and they're going to talk about you. Let me tell you the reality that God gave me this week. He said, come here, boy. They're talking about you anyway. Some folk ain't going to like you no matter what you do. Help me preach in here. And I need to only focus on one thing. Pleasing God. And do you not know that I have failed him time after time after time after time? And you know what this amazing God still does? He still loves me. Because way before I was even formed in my mother's womb, God had already decided, I'm going to love that boy. I'm going to love him. I'm going to be with him. I'm going to take care of him. And even when his boat is rocky, I'm not going to let his boat sink. I got to get out of here. So what you need to do is list your fears. Because some of y'all fear is competition. You don't want nobody to outdo you. No. So you compete. But let me tell you what my fear was doing to me. It was causing me to go from one project to the next. One thing to the next until it wears you out. Until it gets you to the point you feel frustrated that you can't do it all. That's what fear does. I wrote it down in my inventory of my heart. And I said, God, this is my fear. Take an inventory. With some, the fear is that they'll relapse and go back into drugs or alcohol. I don't have to deal with that. I certainly sympathize with people that are at that stage in life. And I want them to realize that through the power of Jesus Christ, he can set you free. Write your fear down. If you do not write your fear down, you're going to lose sight of it. And you better believe that the devil knows what you're afraid of. And he'll use your fear to destroy you. Jesus saw Satan getting at his disciples and getting at his people. I need some duct tape up here. That's the only thing that works in an emergency. Somebody give me some duct tape. Give me some duct tape. Give me a piece of duct tape here. All right, I'm going to hold on till y'all come, all right? Some back there in that drawer, in the little side room. Okay, you need some duct tape. Okay, that works. Amen. Glory to God. God bless the people with a vision to create duct tape so that when preachers get into a situation where their mask falls off, hallelujah for duct tape. It'll work every time. So first thing is know your fear. Write it down because the devil certainly knows what you're afraid of. Second thing is know what can happen as a result of your fear. In other words, we call it the outcome. The outcome. Here we go. There you go. Tape it on there. Don't tape my hair to it. They watching us online now. Welcome people online. Amen. We're struggling up here. The struggle is real. But God is good. Amen. Now we fixed up there, Holly. Know what can happen. Because if you don't know what will happen, and sometimes situations when you're fearful, they will adjust on you. Just like this virus now is mutating. And where you thought, oh, I went through that last week, I got it covered. No, that joker mutated on you. Now your fear is doing something else. Now it's causing you to go to a different extreme. Are y'all in the house? I mean, the nerve of these disciples, the nerve of them shaking Jesus when he was in a good nap, shaking him and saying, Lord, do you care? I start to say it's kind of like your wife sometimes. I ain't going to say that. I'll get myself in trouble. I'll never be able to go home. Reverend Ray, y'all help me out. Reverend Gibbons, y'all help me out. All right, so you got to know what happens as a result of your fear. But then the third thing, apply scripture. And when I said apply scripture, I'm talking about quote scripture, every one you can think of, including the Lord is my shepherd. Come on, somebody. When your fear decides that it's going to come in and tell you stuff that ain't real, try to make you believe in things that ain't even happened, you'd start quoting one scripture after the other. The Lord is worthy to be praised. You begin to quote the word of God over your fear and watch your storm calm down. I'm out of time, but I'm not out of sermon. That's why I say we're going to make this a two-part sermon. Y'all getting something here? I'm about to get happy up here. That's why he looked at the disciples, looked them in the eye. And that's why Jesus right now is looking you in the eye and saying to you, why are you so fearful? You ought to trust me. You ought to know me by now. You ought to know that I have never let you down. Every struggle, every battle that you've been in, I've never abandoned you. You've walked away from me many times, but I have never walked away from you. Come on, talk, preacher. You ought to know by now that I'm good. The question comes up again. Do you know this man? Do you know what he can do? Do you know that he's a way maker? Do you know that he's a burden bearer? Do you know that he's a friend that even when your last friend lets you down, he will never let you down? Do you know what he's done for you? And do you know what he's going to do for you? This storm that you're in right now did not come to destroy you. It came as a process that God would make you and shape you into something better. Hallelujah, somebody up in here. So it is that we have to deal with our fear. Take that fear inventory, because you'll always have to deal with the fear factor. And I'm going to close with this one. Then Jesus asked them, third question, where is your faith? Oh, my goodness. Have you ever lost your car keys? Now, your car keys can only start your car, but your faith starts your life. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And I didn't say, where are your car keys? I said, where is your faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. By it, the elders obtained a good report. If you're going to get a good report, you better find your faith. So why would Jesus ask them this question? I'm closing with this. I'm going to close with this, and I'll give you question four next week. But why would Jesus ask them this question? Not only why are you fearful, but where's your faith? Why would he ask him that question? He knew he gave him faith. Faith came as they heard the word of God. Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Here's what happens. After we've been through a couple of storms, we think we can do it ourselves. I'm going to go on experience. Experience. I know my way around here. I know this place. Yeah, you think you do. But every day is going to have a different trial. Every day is going to have a different struggle. The devil always schemes. He will study you. He will look at everything, every strategy that you have done. He will mark your steps. And just like one of these people that pirates on the computer and the folks that like to get into your personal information, that's how the devil has studied you. He knows your habits. But guess what? He doesn't know your God. He doesn't know the plans that God has for you. Devil has planned for you to fail. He's planned for you. He said, this one's going to sink him. This one's going to get to him. And here in this passage, Jesus was telling them, yeah, you had me, but I've also given you faith so that if you had spoken to the wind, ah, God, I got to stop this sermon right here. If you had enough faith, you could have said to the storm, be still. If you had enough faith, you could have spoken to the mountain and it would obey you. But you lost your faith. How many of y'all lost $20? Yeah. Put it somewhere, couldn't find it. How many of you have lost friends? They just kind of walked off. You just kind of depend on them. Then they just kind of walked off and left you. Man, where are my buddies? But Jesus didn't ask you about your money. He asked you about your faith. Faith is the only power that can keep you afloat. It's the only thing that can guide you in this messed up world. A lot of us without faith, we become desperate like the disciples. And we just want Jesus to fix it. When Jesus said, I'm giving you the authority. As a matter of fact, I'm putting you in the storm so that you can be with me and I can work through you. Faith is an awesome thing. And I'm going to stop with this third question because it says that by it, elders obtained a good report. In other words, the folks in the Bible were just like you and me. But they found their faith. They struggled just like you and me. But they kept the faith. Come here, Moses. Moses would tell you, I got so tired of folk, I smote the rock. Started to hit them, but I missed and hit the rock. People will get on your nerves. Especially the ones that you care most about. Like, why are they asking me the same thing again? That's the way it is. God allows you to go through this. And Moses went through it, but he never lost his faith. He never lost sight of the promise of God. He never lost sight of the fact that God was his maker and his creator. Where's your faith? Come here, Daniel. They did everything they could to scandalize him. And when they couldn't do anything else, they made a trumped up law that anybody who worships anything else except the king for 30 days will be thrown into the lion's den. Guess what? Daniel got thrown into a lion's den. So if you're worried about folks talking about you, how'd you like to be in a lion's den with hungry lions? But he never lost sight of his faith because he never lost sight of God. And because he never lost sight of God, he went through that circumstance. Even if the situation kills you, it can't kill your faith. It cannot kill what God placed within you. When you start believing and when you start using your faith, you can stand up and tell the world that my God is real. And just like Job, though he slay me, I'm still going to trust him because he didn't bring me this far to leave me now. Where is your faith? Let me close by asking you, do you know the man of faith? Do you know that God gave you faith? Do you know what he expects of you? Do you know that he brought you this far and has no plans of leaving you right now? You ought to be glad about the fact that the Lord is the one that takes care of you. Your alarm clock did not wake you up this morning. All it could do was make a sound. But when God touched your body and said, live, that's when you let breath into your lungs. That's when your golden moments ran on just a little while longer. You ought to give him thanks today because he gave you faith. Don't lose sight of your faith. Put it in a place where it can't get lost. Put it in your heart and store it up and allow God to work through you. I'm going to end the sermon, but I'm not finished preaching. Lord knows I'm just getting fired up. Next week, we're going to ask that fourth question. And this one was asked by the disciples. When Jesus calmed the storm and the wind, they looked at one another and asked, what kind of man is this? When they should have been asking Jesus. Whole lot of folk asking, what kind of man is Reverend Coleman? You can go ask your neighbor, they'll tell you their story, and what this one will say that one, but you don't know me until you talk to me. You can even ask my wife, and she doesn't know me because there's something I ain't told her. If you want to know who Jesus is, you ask him, and he'll tell you. Miss Cassie Lovis, down in the Mount Airy Missionary Baptist Church, in the summertime, just much like this, she'd start singing one of those old hymns. You know those old songs. Do you know the man? Do you know the man? Do you know the man from Galilee?